Heartlands on Midlands 103.
Midlands 103. Just great radio.
Good morning and a very warm welcome here to Heartlands on Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And folks, today we continue to celebrate the resurrection of the risen Lord. Today, joining me on the show, we shall have Charlie's reading from our lectionary Psalm, Psalm 4. Sunday is back with his reflection on Sunday. Pastor Phil will be with me, starting a new series going through the Christian alphabet. And, well, she will have time for an old cup on tea as well in the middle of it all. Plus, we continue our 260-day journey through the New Testament. So plenty for us to be looking at. But first up, what about taking a look at the Saviour himself? Look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now. Amen.
Psalms 4. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for him. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine on us. Fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine abound. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety.
Hello, brothers and sisters. Now is time for our Sunday reflection with Sunday. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Mark chapter 16. Verse 6. Jesus Christ was captured, condemned, brutalized, and crucified. But why didn't he fight back? Why did he accept the gross injustice without protest? And finally, die an agonizing, shameful death? In the end, he lay in the grave, and with him, hopes, expectations, dreams, and longings. Everything seemed over and done with on Good Friday. On Sunday, very early in the morning, some women come to the tomb. They have spices with them and want to anoint the Lord's body. It was a last service of love, so to speak. Certainly, with sadness and tears and many questions. But as they enter the tomb, an angel is sitting there and says to them, "You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here." Jesus is alive. He is risen. What a message. Christians are connected with a living Lord, with one who has risen from the dead and has ascended into heaven, and who will one day come again in power and glory to reign. The Bible says Jesus was born, died, and rose again, and is coming again. The Jews, on the other hand, claim Jesus died but did not rise. And Islam says Jesus did not die and therefore cannot have risen. If the statement of the Bible is true, and it is true, then the other assertions are false. But now Christ is risen from the dead. There were many eyewitnesses to his empty tomb? Besides, what good will it do if men preach the gospel at the risk of their lives, but dead men were not raised? They will be the most miserable of all men. Amen. May the good Lord bless his words in our hearts. Amen.
Heartlands on Midlands 103.
Midlands 103. Just great radio.
Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And folks, we continue our 260-day journey through the New Testament. And yes, we have all of the Gospels behind us. We are now in the book of Acts. And today we find ourselves in Acts and chapter 10. And this is where the message of the good news of Jesus Christ reaches the Gentiles. And it is Peter's encounter with Cornelius. Let us pause and listen to the reading of God's word from Acts and chapter 10.
Acts chapter 10. At Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 PM, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened, and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill, and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I'm only a man myself." While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. but God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "3 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 in the afternoon. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea.' So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." Then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the 3rd day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Sons of men and angels, say, raise your joys and triumphs high. Sing ye heavens, thou earth reply. Alleluia. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Heartlands on Midlands 103.
Midlands 103. Just great radio.
Welcome to Uncup on Tay, and a happy Easter to you.
We're still celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're still celebrating the fact that he came and died for us. We're still celebrating the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, the redemption story. Celebrating. In fact, when is it can we stop celebrating such a story? And today I just want to go and share with you a little line that really impacted me while I was immersed in the Easter story. And that is this. When the Sabbath was ended, it is mentioned in Matthew, Mark and Luke. And I'm looking at Mark chapter 16 and verse 1. It just goes and says, when the Sabbath was ended. And it really occurred to me that here is history repeating itself. Way back at the beginning of the world, when the world was being created, whether you believe in a creation narrative or not, the point is that on the 7th day, God rested from his labors. All his work in creation was done. God rested. And it occurred to me as I was reading this, when the Sabbath was ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. And then we have the transition to it being very early on the first day of the week. But here is the whole point. We've been celebrating all of Passion Week and what's involved with that. The work of the Son of God to go and redeem humanity and bring it back to God, to bring us into a right relationship with him. A baptism, he says himself, that he had to undergo. And so we suddenly have this great body of work takes place. And then here is the Son of God. God the Son, the only begotten Son, lying, resting in the tomb. And that really impacted me, that here is Jesus Christ resting from his labors in death. And when the Sabbath was over, on the first day of the week, then the drama begins and we enter into that new dispensation of redemption. Having been done, it is finished. Christ has done it all, and we can know him as our Lord and Savior. And I love where it says in 1 Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 10, we put our hope in the living God, the Savior of all mankind. Or if you read a more modern translation, the Savior of all humanity. Especially to those who believe. But I just thought, isn't it interesting how history repeats itself? That here we have that creation narrative at the beginning, and here we have the creation narrative at the heart of the New Testament, where the Lord Jesus Christ has created a way for you and I to be reconciled with our Heavenly Father, to come into a wonderful relationship with him, that as a result, our spirit can actually cry out, Abba, Father. And that we can enjoy the riches of heaven through the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He has done it all. He is the one who has created a way for us. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And it all happened after the Sabbath was over. He arose triumphant from the tomb and has given us back the very thing that we had lost, a right relationship with our Heavenly Father, and the privilege of eternal life. Now that is a reason to get excited. And it all started for me, just go on thinking about that line. When the Sabbath was ended, when the Lord had finished his rest, boom, look what has taken place for you and me. Have we not a reason to rejoice? We have reason to rejoice. I have to go and tell you, I am so pumped and excited about that. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I only can have eternal life because of the grace, the mercy, the love, and the forgiveness of God. It's all about what Jesus Christ has done for you and me. Let's celebrate. Sabbath is over.
Heartlands on Midlands 103.
Midlands 103. Just great radio.
Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill, where we continue to celebrate Easter. And now we are going to have Pastor Phil with us in a few moments, speaking on the first letter of his Christian alphabet, beginning with the word assurance. But before that, the head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. A royal diadem adorns the mighty victor's brow.
Welcome again, folks, to Treasuring Jesus. Let me say, my name is Philip Campbell, I'm a retired pastor. I've been an evangelist also for quite a number of years. But I'm taking this opportunity to share just short Bible thoughts and meditations under the title of Treasuring Jesus. And I hope that you'll manage to join us, to listen in, to be blessed, hopefully, by what we share. Today we're beginning a new series, a series which I'm calling the A to Z of being a Christian. The A to Z of being a Christian. We're going to be using each letter of the alphabet to point us to something important in becoming a Christian or living as a Christian. And I do hope it's going to be practical and helpful, both for those who are just new Christians and for those of us who've been believers for many years. And for those of us in the latter group, I would point you to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. No, I'm not telling you. Look it up. So, are you a Christian? Are you sure you're a Christian? Are you sure you're a Christian? Well, I really hope so, because the letter A is for assurance. A is for assurance. It's a sad fact that doubts can arise in the hearts of people who belong to the Lord. Sometimes they do. Are my sins really forgiven? I'm not sure if I feel saved today. Maybe I'm not. I just sinned. Maybe I'm not a Christian anymore. Is the Bible really true? Is that skeptic I meet at work right when he questions some things about the Christian faith? Have you ever had any thoughts like that? When I was at college, one of the leaflets that we used in outreach had been written by a member of the staff. It was called You Can Be Sure. I don't believe God wants us to live our lives plagued by doubt and uncertainty. He wants us to have assurance. But how? How can we be sure? Let me read you some words from 1 John chapter 5 from verse 11. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you might continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Our assurance is based first and foremost on the promise of God in Scripture. As we just read, God wants us to know. He who has the Son has life. So have you come to Christ, the one who died on the cross to pay for sin, asking him to forgive and to change you? Well then, as I discovered at the age of 10, the one who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. It's his promise. You can depend on it. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. But then our assurance is confirmed by the presence of God in our lives. You see, he's forgiven us. He's brought his peace to our hearts. And he's right beside us every day. I will never leave you nor forsake you, he says. I'm reminded of something that happened at an open-air meeting in Llandudno many years ago. United Beach Missions has a centre there for many, many years. On this particular occasion, the leader of the team was a man called Mark Knight, and he was conducting the open-air meeting at which there was hymn singing and there was preaching, and there was also an opportunity for folk to share how they'd become Christians. And in the crowd that evening were two folk who were members of the team and who were also husband and wife, Gerard and Philippa Crispin. Mark called Philippa up to the box and the first question he asked her was, "Are you a Crispin?" And she smiled and said, "Well, yes, I'm married to Gerard." "How can you be sure of that?" he said. She pointed to a ring on her left hand and said, "Well, I can show you my wedding ring. Does that not prove it to you?" "Well, you could have bought that anywhere," said Mark. "I'm not sure that that's that's enough proof. Well, I could take you to my wedding certificate. I could show you that, and you could have it in your hand, and you could read it. Well, but that's just a piece of paper. I'm not sure that would necessarily prove it. Well, eventually, under the questioning, Philippa, perhaps as Mark had intended, got so frustrated that she got down off the box and she walked over to Gerard, grabbed him, brought him to the front and said, "Here's my husband." The basis of our assurance is our relationship with Jesus. That's one thing that confirms it in our hearts and in our lives. And our own assurance is cemented when we confess that we belong to him. And so I encourage you, keep that relationship fresh every single day. A is for assurance. Shall we pray together? Lord, in a world of great uncertainty, we thank you that we can be sure. Sure of forgiveness. Sure of friendship with our Savior. Sure of a future in heaven. Father, we pray that we might never lose that assurance and peace of heart, but live in the joy of it every single day of our lives. In our Savior's worthy name, we pray. Amen. Join us next time. Until then, keep treasuring Jesus.
Heartlands on Midlands 103.